When things get bad, they can even get worse. And last week, Nasdaq was a proof of exactly that. Nasdaq down 3.62%, making a huge pain for most investors. The question is, what will it be this week? Will it be yet another red week on Nasdaq? Nasdaq balancing on 13,200 points. Are we heading for 12,000? You're listening to the StockInvest.us podcast Trading Tips with Jim, and for the next some 25-30 minutes, I will guide you through what I think will happen in the market this week. And as you know, I've been correct week after week lately in my predictions. We will of course drop by the $1,000 challenge, see if I'm able to grow the $1,000, and how is the stock currently doing. And on top of this, of course, a lot of other things. But let's start with last week. I told you I thought it would be a red week, and I warned you when things are bad, they can easily get worse. And it became a real bad week for Nasdaq, mainly driven by Wednesday, as I told you. Fed would, in my opinion, signal much more pain ahead, and they did. And market did not like that at all, causing the 10-year treasury yield to go up to record high 4.44. And as I told you, when this one goes up, the stock market goes down. And the thing is that it's not an end in sight. You hear it over and over again from the experts, from Fed itself and everyone. We think that the top is here, it will end. But as you heard in this podcast over and over again, we are not done with inflation yet. And the same with interest rates. There is more pain to come. Only a few things can really change this outcome very fast. Otherwise, we are heading for bad times in the economy. Several countries already see this very harshly. Germany, for instance, Norway is being hit very bad as we speak. And if you are the kind of guy who likes luxury items, well, no, they are really for sale. People are selling off, I saw this morning, people are selling off the Rolexes, dumping the prices in the Rolex market, which been very, very high over quite some time. Now prices are dumping extremely fast. Same thing is happening in the diamond market, but in the diamond market, it's also because of artificial diamonds getting as good as natural diamonds, and that of course pushes the price down. Cars, the expensive cars, they are being sold off almost at bankruptcy levels because people cannot afford the increase in interest rates, and you better get out of the deal while you still can afford it, but dumping at very low prices. So it's a good time to have cash in your pockets. Cash is king these days. Another term you heard over and over again in this podcast, that cash is king. Dow Jones didn't fall as much as Nasdaq, but still, Dow Jones fell 1.89% last week, just under 33,964 points. So a bad week for the markets, and the question is, are we heading for yet another red week? And if you are heading for a red week, how can we deal with it? Because we do know that trading in red weeks will be much harder. It's just statistics. You can be as good as the best. Still, it will be even harder for you to pick the right stocks. Because when things are being pulled down, most things are being pulled down. It's just gravity, simple gravity. It's the same thing when things go up. Then even shitty stocks may move up, despite they in fact should be moving down. That is the reason why week after week are giving you the market insight in what I think. Because if you plan accordingly, you do your risk management like last week I told, maybe you shouldn't be too invested into the market. You probably would be better off. And a part of the one way to get your portfolio to grow, your bank portfolio or your fortune to grow, is to reduce your losses. It's a super good way. You will, no matter what you do, you will end up in bad trades. You want to reduce the amount of bad trades as much as possible. To stay above the 50%, you need to have more than 50% of positive trades. But on top of this, you want to reduce your losses. When you have losses, you want to reduce them as much as possible. You use trailing stop loss, and a few other tools, risk management being one of them. And that was why I told you better invest into gold, war and oil, because they will keep somewhat good if market goes south. And personally, I'm into oil, I'm into Chevron and a few other stocks. And gold and oil, they held up very, very well last week, despite market falling overall. And if we look at the market this week, we are where I told you we would be. We would get into a situation where things will be too oversold and an opportunity arises. You just have to be patient, wait for it, and then go in. By the way, when you think markets can be negative, of course you can do the reverse. You can do shorting or go into bear indexes, etc., and make money that way. Maybe easier for many people than doing actual stock trading to go into index trading, and you trade the index based on how you think the week or the weeks or the month ahead of you will be. You place your positions into the different indexes. Anyway, I told you an opportunity should arise very soon, because the number of buy signals at Nasdaq is getting very, very low. Overall, in general, many markets, they are getting very low. And when they get too low, there will be an opportunity. At this point, you have the big scare. Things can fall even faster, but usually it turns. Here, it becomes a matter of exact timing. Will it be today that the markets turn? Will it be on Thursday? I cannot say for sure, but in my opinion, the buy signals at Nasdaq, which currently is only 12%, as low as we have to go, I think actually a year or more back when we had Nasdaq down at 14, I told you, no, you just have to buy. We had 3 weeks of straight upturn on Nasdaq afterwards. But I will get back to that in just a bit, because before that, let's have a quick look at the fundamentals for the week. As you know, Fed moved the market last week, and that's usually how it is. Big events move the markets. And while I remember, please like and comment on the video if you are watching on YouTube. And for those watching on Spotify, thank you for many nice comments on the Spotify version. And to you also that is commenting on YouTube. If you like this video series, this podcast series to continue, I will need your likes and I will need your comments. Otherwise, we'll be stuck in the same growth rate, which currently been more flatline. But you are here. There are several hundreds of you every week, and I appreciate every one of you. And for the fundamentals this week, which are the things that's coming up? Well, there is a few consumer-related items, which is a kind of thing that you want to keep an eye on, because, and it's a bit complex to explain, but in general, do understand that the stock market is long ahead of the economy, can be many years ahead of the economy. The stock market is now trying to figure out how bad will the economy be. And that is why we had a bad year. And last year is because the stock market, the professionals, they understand figures, they understand numbers, and they see where things are heading. The question is, where will the bottom be? Because the stock market will be way ahead of the general economy. So you want to keep an eye on certain numbers that give you an idea, where are we heading? Are we starting to slow down the negative things? Like we had, inflation was up at 8%. Now it's slowly going down to 4-ish%. Still way too high for the general level of 2. Anything above 2, and the Fed will keep increasing the interest rates. So that part is slowly starting to get okay. But then you have to mix in what are the things driving the the economy and driving the demand. And the demand is, of course, consumer spending. How much money do you have in your account? Do you go as often as you used to do on restaurants? Do you buy the same items that you used to do, or are you starting to save? Because if you are starting to save, everyone else is starting to save. These things shows up in the number, and if everyone is starting to save, you will see the general profit margin and revenue margin starting to go down in the businesses. And if these things go down, of course, when you look at numbers and you want the return on your investment, it is not arguing for higher prices. Anyway, this week you will have consumer spending numbers on Thursday. They are expected to be 1.7%. You should keep an eye on this. And there is two quarter results which I personally would keep an eye on. Is Costco on Tuesday, and I believe it's Nike on Thursday, because they will give an idea of consumer behavior. Costco will represent your actual needs, while Nike is a little bit more on the upside. Another interesting fact about these two quarter results is that many people are watching about the crime level, because across US and in many major cities, stealing of goods has become an insane problem, eating into all sorts of profit margins, and it is absolutely a huge problem. You have to go to a lot of different countries than America to see that kind of crime level and shoplifting, without mentioning which countries. So this is a number that also professionals will be following, because many companies actually choose to shut down their businesses in major cities simply because, yes, they are selling, but they are losing so much that the profit margins is being wasted. And the profit margin is being wasted by theft, also increasing costs. So wherever your cost increases, like taxes increases and everything, the incentive of doing business gets less, and businesses usually move to where it is better conditions. So for the consumer spendings, already tomorrow on Tuesday, Costco, and Thursday for sure, consumer spendings, and also Nike will give a telltale. Then on Friday, you have Carnival Cruise Line, CCL. And as I told you, I would never invest into Cruise Line right now. If you go many, many podcasts back after the pandemic, I told you when Cruise Line was super low. Now it's a buying opportunity. It's a buying opportunity of your lifetime. Just get in, because this trend will go up, up, up. And it did. Now I'm just warning about the same thing, that people start to save money. The cruise line industry will start to top out from the upturn. Their cost, oil, for fuel, etc., is going up. And I think that you will see the profit margin really being squeezed in companies like Carnival Cruise Line, Norwegian Cruise Line, and other people on the luxury end. And while speaking about oil, oil remained more or less steady since last week, currently as we speak at $90.5, way above what anyone thought. But again, small commercial for this podcast. You heard it in this podcast. You heard it over and over again where oil will be. But I'm still not right in my strong prediction that oil will go on the super rally. We've been waiting for that. We are heading for the fall. Maybe it will happen. Maybe it will not happen. But $90 is a place where the oil companies are raking in money. And many of you maybe remember our bet into USO, United States Oil Company, and that one was a real thriller. Some of you, maybe you are Norwegian, I know a few of you are. Also remember that I invested into Petro Geoservice at 1.3 Norwegian kroner and a little bit more, around 2.7 kroner. And now they are merging with a company at around 10 Norwegian kroner. So there is still money to be made in oil, and I think there will be maybe for years to come. And part of the reason, just to wrap up that argument, is because the Taiwan conflict will come. It's getting stronger and stronger by the day. And when things happen, this will cause two things. The United States will have to refill their emergency stock of oil after Biden dumping a huge part of it a few years ago, trying to squeeze down the gasoline prices, keep the voters and the consumers happy, believing that he could push the market the entire way down and buy cheap. Well, he didn't buy when it was so cheap, because all dumping of that oil made oil go down to, I think it was 60 some low, but has then crawled up to 90. And if we get a conflict, oil will be disrupted. That will cause, in my opinion, oil to spiral up. On top of this, OPEC is cutting production, Russia is cutting production, and oil is being more distributed inside the BRICS countries for cheaper. They are starting more trades by themselves, leaving less oil for the West. Many things there. Some of them are for the very long run in a small country like Norway, which I was born in Oslo, Norway, and been living most of my life in Norway. Well, Norway have a government that hates oil, and that will, like we see in the United States, where they're trying to ban more oil production, keep oil prices high for a long, long time to come. There's no way that we can get away from oil easily. You have to remember, oil is everywhere. It's in your mobile phone. It's every plastic item that you see in front of you or touching as we speak. In your computers, I mean, it is absolutely everywhere. It's not only in your car. But we also know that the long, long-term future will go towards green. It's just a natural development. We have to do something about the environment. Always have to do that. As we grow as a population, we pollute more and naturally want fresher air wherever you live, either it's in city or countryside, especially cities, and there will be more demand for electric. We just have to figure out how do we get all the electricity and how can we store that electricity. That was argument for why you should continue to buy into battery production or uranium, by the way, as an investment, because that is the future no matter what will be. We are not going to burn fuel the way that we are doing right now, fossil fuel, that is. That is going to change for sure, but it will be a long journey before we are there. And as we speak, population is growing everywhere. India is growing very fast. That class moving up from pure poverty up into the middle class or lower middle classes, they demand more. They demand more of the same things that we have, which usually include more use of electricity and energy, oil or electricity, that is. On Fed on Thursday, another important number will come, GDP numbers, but it's expected to come in the growth of the brute growth is expected to come in at 2.2%, up from 2.1, I think, was in the first quarter. So that is a number to watch on Thursday, along with the jobless claims. So Thursday will be a very interesting day. Indeed, and you will get some small drips. But sum it up before we conclude what we think will happen in the market this week. There are no really big things happening. There are a few things behind the scene. I saw that the United States now is open to send long reaching rockets to Ukraine. That should intensify more into the conflict and keep escalating the situation more. You may feel that it's not escalating, but it is slowly escalating bit by bit, and it's escalating in many bad ways. One of these is that the support for Ukraine, because of the length of the war, is getting less. Poland had a big controversy about Ukraine last week, about corn, about grains, and all of this caused them to say that they will not give any more weapons to Ukraine. Ukraine are in desperate need of weapons. The world have production problems regarding weapons, giving Russia an upper hand, meaning that the West have to do other things, and long rockets being one of these things. And these long rockets, no matter what they say, that they will not be used to hit targets inside Russia to escalate the war, they will eventually do. We see the same thing with drones, we see everything, and that just means we can't just expect that war to increase more, meaning that it suddenly can spiral out of control. It's not to me to judge what is right or wrong. I am the kind of peace guy. I've been in operations in Afghanistan, I've been in operations in Lebanon, I've been in Kosovo, I've seen war up close. Being there, done that, I argue for peace in every possible way. Dialogue is one of the ways to solve things. You have to get down to the table. Doesn't mean that you have to give up your land or occupy land or whatever, but you have to get to the table. You have to start to speak peace, because right now we are moving slightly, sadly, in the very, very wrong direction. There is popping up conflicts everywhere. One conflict, huge conflict, being allowed on the international stage, usually argues for other countries to follow. So we have conflicts coming up in Africa. We have Kosovo is starting to tension up with Serbia, Moldova have a few problems. There is more and more tension arising as we speak, and US have, despite not being in the news, a tense conflict with China as we speak, which can spiral out of control. That will be the last thing about fundamentals, because all of this I'm saying not to be too pessimistic or negative, but they argue for invest into war-related stocks. You will gain shitload of money. You will have huge dividends. You just have to be sure about which company you invest into. General Motors has been raking in money on the war. And the warlords, they are doing the same. So follow some of these companies. I argued for those making artilleries, because artilleries is running low, but even advanced systems. We saw how big the request for drones became, so artificial intelligence in the war industry is growing very, very fast. And here you can have stocks that double, 10 doubles, 10 times easy, very fast, going from small startups to becoming huge companies, benefiting from the war and all the billions following the war, and the eager to keep things going. From the fundamental point, gold staying at 1,942, the dollar is strengthening. That is why the dollar is somewhat safe. So happy I went into gold, by the way. Cannot repeat that too often. It keeps a huge, strong balance in my portfolio. There is no big, big fundamentals, but I argue for things can come out of the blue now. So I argue some sort of caution in regards to what is happening on the big stage. We need certain things to happen to de-escalation. We need to see more peace talks. When and if these things happen, I would say that it will argue for a much better space to invest, unless you invest in what I said, gold, oil, and war, but for general investments, because all and everyone will keep struggling. Sadly, I know that many of you listeners, because you represent the population as such, already have started to struggle with the high, high prices on everything. They are creeping into rental prices, loan prices, interest rates prices, food prices. Everything is just creeping into you. But we are doing this podcast trying to help you at least do a little bit better while trading. Fundamentals, nothing really special this week. Things will come out of the blue, I just warned you about that. But for the signals, the technical part, which is much easier for the short-term market, I already told you as a teaser that Nasdaq is down at 12%, the record low. It's even found the bottom in the pivot chart. Argues for me that this will be a green week. I will take the chance of increasing my exposure a bit, because I think there will be a rebound in the market. We might be off for a few days. It will be very interesting to see that it opens on the red today. But my guess is open on the red, then starts to pick up green. And some stocks will really do very, very well this week. I will still go for the same as I argued for several weeks. I will go with those who have had huge fall in the stock prices, have tons of support below, reducing the risk if things continue down, and have little resistance above. You should see a strong upside in some of these stocks. When speaking about Nasdaq itself, oversold, super low on signals, but with huge resistance from 13,600 and upwards, I think that the upturn might be short-lived, but there should be an upturn. I vote for this reason for a green week in United States markets. Let's have a look at the other signals. Across all signals, it's 23% buy signals across all the almost 40,000 tickers that we analyze. only 23. It's really low. In general, Nasdaq 12%, as I said, New York Stock Exchange 15%, gives a good opportunity for the American market. But do note these words. I'll bold it and underline it and repeat it 50 times if necessary. When things are bad, they can get even worse. So despite I'm saying that, it by all means, it really looks like a super buying opportunity now. We are balancing just above 14,000 points, Dow Jones under 34,000 points. Things from here can go, we can get into a frantic sell-off during the next few days. There is no, absolutely no guarantee. It just takes one bad news when things and the mood is this bad to go from really bad. This is like when you're teasing your husband or your wife and you know that you are really close to get to an outburst. It's just the same thing in the stock market. We are very, very close. But as you know, if you get on the good side while teasing your wife or your husband, it can flip from bad to very good in just a few minutes. You just have to say or do the right thing. So in my opinion, it's a super buying opportunity and for Nasdaq and New York Stock Exchange, the American stocks. I argue for a green week at Nasdaq, but not sure that it will be too much. I think we hit the 13,200 target. I think that it will be hard to crawl above 13,600, 700, but who knows, there might be some very good numbers coming. Or other things that can push the market. But as we speak, seems to me to be an obvious buying opportunity. London, 25% buy signals. Tokyo, 43% buy signals. Chess in China at 23%. And China is interesting country to follow because they stand for a lot of the distribution. Having a car war against Europe as we speak, China is dumping their electric cars into other markets to take market position using subsidies as a weapon. Good for you, the consumer, but bad for, of course, for businesses located in Europe. Now, that was the market overview. I believe it will be a green week. I was negative 3 weeks, been correct 3 weeks. Will I be correct this week? Well, you will just have to watch what happens this week. And if I'm wrong, I will be the first to admit next week in next week's podcast. By the way, about next week, I am heading for a holiday in Turkey. I'm not sure about the receptions, but I will try my very best to make the podcast. If I'm not able to make it, please have me excused. And with that being said, the part that is left is, of course, the $1,000 challenge. And let's wrap that up very quickly. As you know, I'm currently sitting in Tetra Technologies Inc. And I said in the last week's podcast that I was most likely to be selling it last week, but there was no really good opportunity to sell it. I still sit it, TTI, and I think it's currently a very good position. I think that the markets will bounce up. And I will use that chance to get off Tetra Technologies. Currently only 1% profit in Tetra. $1,000 challenge is in the green. But it's been a hard market to trade, so we haven't been able to double it yet. Working on the case, I will give any incentives. I hope that this will be the week that I get easy out of Tetra and finding a new candidate. But as I promised, I will only give you, in this podcast series, I will give you the candidate even before I buy it, so you can follow the trades. Despite I wish I could just trade when I see the opportunities, because every day I see stocks popping up as good choices. And one way you can find the stocks a little bit easier, at stockinvest.us, we finally released the screener. The screener will enable you to find stocks much easier. Here's a few of my personal tips, how you construct the screener filter settings to find good stocks. Personally, I love Relative Strength Index 21. I would go for oversold. I would go for rising trend. I would make sure that liquidity, and do not mix volume and liquidity, because volume is just how much shares is being traded. And if it's a penny stock at 0.05 cents or whatever, the volume can be very high, but the actual liquidity, trading liquidity, is very low. So use the measure liquidity, not volume. I would put liquidity at least at $10 million or more. And another thing I would do is use that very nice tool that we have, which tell you which direction volume is. So I would go for volume direction upwards. And if you want to save bound yourself a little bit, have buy signals from the long-term moving average. Do some of these filter screenings and you will find candidates. You can click on the chart tab and you can see all the charts. Looking at charts, that enables you to make very good decisions, in my opinion. You are a super smart person. Your brain is an excellent tool. You just have to use it. We are, by nature, instructed to read and understand patterns. So look at the charts, and I guess you will get to a much better conclusion than just taking something out of the air or whatever is written on Reddit or everywhere. Use the screener, use the filters, find your stocks. I will try to keep mentioning good stocks when I see them in this podcast series as well. So for a $1,000 chance, Tetra Technologies Inc. TTI still stays open. I didn't sell it last week simply because the market was, as I said, very hard. And I didn't see any reason, because when things pop up, I believe that Tetra Technologies will pop up strong as well. So if you get into the green week, I think that it should be easy 10% in Tetra, and I will see to get out of it and find some other stock. Ending the podcast on the personal notes of what is happening and what am I doing. Well, I'm doing my very best to make all sort of products better, so I keep improving all the things that I test and things I pre-make before the professionals handle it further into real products. So I keep working on the auto trading boot. The auto trading boot is doing good, in my opinion. I'm so close to really making it even better. I made correlation analysis tools. You'll find all of this on Stock Invest, and I have a few other pages where I make testing tools. At Stock Invest, you will even find a very, very nice tool if you are a trader. Some charts have live signals, should be mainly Nasdaq stocks. There you can see a correlation price. It will give you an idea what is the correct price for the stock in the minute. And if it's undervalued, it usually go up. It'll even say how much is undervalued by percentage. These things really work very well. Recommend you to have a look at it. Hopefully a future that we will put into Stock Invest when it's finally ready. Many, many things to happen. And by the way, I opened the Spotify shop. I had to try it. I love trying things. Usually I do not have time for all of it, but I had to do it to see how it do. And I'm trying to kick into a niche and into what I believe will be the main topic for the year ahead of us. I'll not reveal everything because it's slightly depressing, but I'm just doing what you should be doing. Use the trends to your benefit. Try to be ahead of them, ahead of the trend before it starts. Get in early. First in, first out. FIFO is the one thing that you want. You don't want to be last in, last out. Lilo, it's not where you want to be. Other than that, 33 minutes into the podcast, I did some metal detecting this week. I was lucky to find a few nice things. Silver coins are starting to buckle up, but nothing extremely fancy. I will be off, as I said, to Turkey for a 10-day holiday, just enjoying sun and relaxment. Hopefully, I will somehow manage to make a podcast. It will not be a good podcast, I'm worried about that. But I will be able to bring you a podcast next Monday with a short update on what is happening. Anyway, as usual, I really hope that you will have a green week, that it will be a super week for you, that you will be able to increase the size of your portfolio, put more money in the bank than when you started the week, and more than anything else, that you will have just in general a good week. Spend time with friends, do things that you love, stock market is here and will remain here for many years. I am here, I will remain here for quite some time as well. But friends and family is much more important than that. Until next week, have just a beautiful week. Bye.